Free Talk Live.
Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the creator of the Liberty Conspiracy, which can be seen and heard every Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter / X feed. That being at Gard Goldsmith. That's G-A-R-D Goldsmith. If you're interested in finding more information that I might be able to provide to you, then check out my Substack, that being the Gardner Goldsmith Substack, and you'll find that every Sunday we provide what's called the Sunday News Assembly. The News Assembly contains at least 20 stories pertaining to Liberty, plus contextual information that will help draw out of those breaking stories longer-term intellectual ammunition to help defend and expand the purview of freedom. Thanks so much for listening. All right, my friends, what's on tap first? Well, you saw a little preview there about TikTok, but let's get into the liar. And for that, we turn to our theme. No, it's not the Rollins Band. It's the Damned from one of the greatest albums ever made, Machine Gun Etiquette, Liar. Yes, indeed. That photo taken and their first trip to the United States, and on the back of the at the back of the street there, you'll see Village of the Damned and Dawn of the Dead. Perfectly appropriate for the Damned in the foreground. Ah, yes, my friends. But is truth dead? Is honesty in politics dead? Is there no more nobility in the great and honest traditions of the United States that have been awesome ever since, of course, Alexander Hamilton helped usurp the Articles of Confederation? It was so great, wasn't it? It's always been awesome in the United States. It's always been great. Well, let's go back to Joe Biden's State of the Union address, my friends, because Joe Biden had a few things to say about Snickers and a few other things to say about American traditions. So we're going to turn to his statement about Snickers, because, of course, it's a great way for him to excuse higher prices based on the incredible expansion of the money supply, of the fiat forced on us money supply, to fund all of the government welfareism, whether it's the military industrial complex, or it's the state politicians, or it's government trying to fund EVs, or government trying to fund particular, airport projects, or whatever it might be. They've got to make sure they've got their welfare friends in their pockets. And so once they inflate the money supply and our buying power goes down, they've got to blame the higher prices on something. So why not blame the people who are competing with each other to try to give us candy bars? Here it is, Joe Biden doing it up.
Too many corporations raise prices to pad their profits, charging more and more for less and less. That's why we're cracking down on corporations engaged in price gouging and deceptive pricing.
Now, I know that you know he has 100% that power, don't you? He's got that power. Not only does he have the moral power to prevent people from offering things to us, and we can deny it if we don't want them. Strangely, we can't deny the government. Isn't that odd? It's so strange how we can say we don't want to buy a Snickers bar, or we don't want to buy a Hershey's bar. How sweet that is, right? And yet we can't say no to Joe Biden's corporatist offer, because, of course, they're in the monopoly that claims the legal power to use aggressive violence and threats of it against us to make us behave and comply. That's awesome. So he's going to protect us. How about price gouging from these guys? Oh, we'll talk about the speaker coming up in a little bit and the deals that he made, because he's just awesome.
Food to healthcare to housing. In fact, the snack companies think You won't notice if they change the size of the bag and put a hell of a lot fewer, same size bag, put fewer chips in it. No, I'm not joking. It's called shrinkflation. Pass Bobby Casey's bill and stop this. I really mean it.
So they give him a standing O. Bobby Casey, they give him a standing ovation when that bill clearly is utterly, patently unconstitutional. Everybody's applauding the guy. Does that give you a sense, the way it gives me a sense, of the forces that are arrayed against even the very concept of free markets, the very idea of being truthful about why prices go up and how they're driven down through free market competition? I think we've got a lot of work ahead of us, everybody. Let's continue to try to tell our friends about the way markets work and the way government undercuts competitive markets all the time. And freedom, of course. Ah, what a guy. He's awesome.
You probably all saw that commercial on Snickers bars. You get charged the same amount, and you got about, I don't know, 10% fewer Snickers in it.
What a guy. He's just great, isn't he? You get about 10% fewer Snickers. Everybody's snickering. They're snickering. I'm not a big fan of Snickers bars. Like, if I'm starving, I guess I'll have one, you know? I was never a fan of, like, peanuts and chocolate mix, but now I actually will dig it. It's okay. But gee whiz. In the meantime, look at the little scowl on this guy, as if this guy is somehow a paragon, a paladin, you might say, for free market competition. Really? We'll talk about that in a little while. All the things the government gets to do under him, that, of course, will undercut free market competition and bring higher prices to all of us because the government is out of control. Here's the latest from the New York Post as reissued by Microsoft. This one from Shannon Thaler. Snickers is fighting back. Here we go. Snickers denies Biden's State of the Union accusation that it has reduced candy bar sizes in shrinkflation. President Biden blasted Snickers as an example of shrinkflation during his State of the Union address. We can skip over this pretty much, just a newsflash thing, but let's get to this. Of course, he says fewer chips in it. He called them tater chips or something like that. And then we have this. Mars, which manufactures the iconic chocolate, caramel, and peanut candy bar, debunked the president's statement. Says the company, "We have not reduced the size of Snickers singles or share size in the U.S., the company said in a statement to CNN per a screenshot shared to X. Like many industries, we continue to face high inflation and spikes in material costs. However, we work to absorb these extra costs whenever possible to provide affordable treats and the best value," the candy giant added. "Final prices are always at the discretion of the retailer, but we make every effort to minimize costs to provide a full range of delicious products," Mars said. Scott Jennings, the CNN contributor who shared the statement, captioned the post, "As I suspected, the president is literally slandering a candy bar." And he wrote, "We'll literally slander anything and anyone. Total hack," Jennings added of the commander in chief. Well, that's for sure. And we're going to offer you a video segment from his State of the Union address to see if you count the number of times that he slandered people, misled people, and lied in an added extra super awesome epilogue to our coverage last week of the State of the Union address that we got to do on David's show and on this show Friday. David Knight Show, of course, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. The David Knight Show. Great guy, great family, awesome people. Got some nice texts from David this weekend. And so let's consider a couple other things, though, because oftentimes when we're looking at this sort of thing, I think the tendency would be to go to the immediate and very viable, very valuable commentary about the growth of the money supply, the price increases that are a result of the increased bidding due to all of those increased units of money that bid up the prices. Absolutely right. But we can't, or at least it's incumbent on me talking to you and hopefully getting the feedback from you. Hopefully you agree that there are myriad other impositions that the government places. I sort of foreshadowed this before we got into the actual Snickers notation here, but there are so many other things. We've got corporate taxes. We've got taxes on fuel. We have restrictions on fuel. All the different things that they require for shipping, whether it be paper or plastic, all those different types of things, all those are affected by government. Then we've got tariffs against foreign sugar. How much does that increase the cost of the candy bar? Will anybody discuss these things except economics professors, people at the Mises Institute, Pete St. Ange? Are these the only places, Angry Tiger, are these the only places where we're going to get this information? Right? Do the pop media people ever decide they'd like to open a book sometime, a virtual book in a theoretical sense, and actually look at all the pages that have come before this, the preceding chapters that led to all these price expansions? Because, as I said, in a marketplace where the government doesn't touch these things, all these attendant things that feed into the higher prices, where the government is not involved in these things, all things being equal, competitors in the market try to cater to what we want. Do we want Snickers bars for more or for less? Well, clearly, Joe Biden at least has the instinct to realize people generally want to get more for their efforts, not less for their efforts, even though he represents the factor in our lives that always is the biggest burden against us getting more for less effort and making us work harder to get less. They are responsible for this. If they would leave us and the sellers alone, prices would go down. But they won't. They won't. And then they've got the gall to introduce statutes, like you just saw everyone applauding a statute to investigate why the prices are going up. They can look at each other and they might have the answer, but they don't want to face reality, do they? No, instead they want to make up stories, right? Well, here are some more made up stories from Joe Biden. 2 minutes in, approximately 15 seconds of Joe Biden talking about the wonderful House of Democracy in Washington, D.C., where, of course, you have to pay for it, but you can't go walking in there when you want to, because that's called trespassing. They'll say it's a riot, or they'll even use the term insurrection when there was no insurrection. Let's watch as this guy has the continued gall after he lays blame on higher prices on the people who are working to try to give us more for less. This guy's got the gall to say things like this and rack up these things. Put your comments inside Rockfin, Rumble, or on X on areas where you see him being misleading, using terms that don't apply, or actually almost making you laugh because what he's saying is so absurdly actually about the government, or, of course, is propagandistic to try to play up the government and make them look good. So is the blame appropriate? Is he lying? And is he using appropriate terminology? Let's do that. Check this out. Here we go.
Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th. Yeah. When insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy.
Okay, I'm going to pause it there. Insurrectionists stormed the Capitol and placed a dagger at the throat of American democracy. I know he was probably on some sort of amphetamine, so it came out of him very fast. But that's what he said. It's just amazing. A dagger at the throat of American democracy. So evidently it's direct democracy and the Electoral College means nothing. And these people are not representatives. They're actually you. And of course, there's that canard of representation in the first place. It's direct democracy, right? Sure. Then who's he talking to in that building? Well, aren't you all seated there? It must be direct democracy. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not. That's right. It's an utter lie. And then he's got the idea of insurrection. No one was charged with insurrection, right? Let's see what other little tidbits we can come up with. Because, of course, this is the home of freedom.
Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th, lie.
How do you know it's the will of the people, right? How do you know? How do you know it's the will of the people? It's the will of some people. And then, of course, there were some questions about the vote. But it's not the people as if it's all uniform. It's not the will. That's Rousseauian. That's the general will. That's why when I teach classes, I try to tell students, I was like, imagine Rousseau literally told people that whatever gets expressed through the government assembly house is the general will and it is infallible. We're seeing the same pernicious mindset 150 years later, 200 years later, almost. Unbelievably stupid, ridiculous. Here we go.
Lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood. America stood strong. And democracy prevailed. We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here.
So remember, everybody, make sure you defend that threat to democracy, okay? Whatever that means. You can figure that one out. We'll get together. We'll talk about it. What do you think that one means?
Seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that.
So this is the guy who just called all those people insurrectionists. They held them without trial for 2 years in many cases, gave them charges that were utterly ridiculous. And he's like, he says, oh, we're not going to let them misshape the truth about this. Really? Honestly? And you just called them twice insurrectionists. I'm sorry. It's like a prosecuting attorney, but you're on the stand there, buddy. And we have some memories, so sorry we're employing our brain cells.
This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies.
You know, like anybody got charged with insurrection.
Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win. As I've done ever since being elected to office, I ask all of you without regard to party to join together and defend democracy. Remember, your oath of office is defending us all threats, foreign and domestic.
Because you swear an oath to defend democracy against all threats. Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Constitution is not a document that defends democracy. All right. Before I finish up, I got to turn to you all and see what you're thinking. Oh, man, this is great. I'm seeing Brian Taylor. I think we need to bring back tar and feathering. Yes. Jason Barker says, notice they all stand up and clap when Kamala does. I won't use the term you use, but yes. And it's not super bad, everybody. But yeah, they were briefed to do that. Yep. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We're going down a little further here. And, sit the F down, scumbag, says Harry Hart. Oh, man, am I with you? Yeah. Brian Taylor, what about defending natural rights? Oh, Brian. Brian. I don't know. What? Brian. Clearly, you are oppositional. Aren't you in favor of democracy? What is wrong with you? I just don't get it. We've got City Boy Blues. All of this SOTU addresses. Have not, all of his SOTU addresses have not mirrored his inaugural address, a total 180. Biden says we must end this uncivil war. Biden calls for unity in inaugural address. Biden asked for harmony while speaking to the immense challenges of the moment on 1/20/21. All of his State of the Union addresses have not mirrored his inaugural address. A total 180. Yeah, because you know the rhetoric is completely meaningless. It's totally emotion of the moment. So yes, let's get a little more of the emotion of the moment and clear out.
Respect free and fair elections. Restore trust in our institutions. And make clear political violence has absolutely no place, no place in America, zero place.
Yeah, you got to just make sure that you continue paying your taxes, because if you don't, you're going to not feel any political violence. Meanwhile, you better pay those taxes so they can continue to send weapons for political violence all around the world. Awesome. Yeah. That's just great, isn't it? Talking about political violence, everybody, let's get into one of our first major stories. It's a quick war update, everyone. Oh, yes.
Speak about the sunshine. Speak about the sunshine. Speak about the sunshine.
Yes, indeed, everybody. We got some big news to give to you, so let's get right to it. And first, we're going to turn to antiwar.com. Awesome. Couple big stories at antiwar.com that I want to mention to you. Biden says he'll never stop sending arms for Israel's so-called self-defense. Aren't they just glorious, these gaslighters? As famine looms and the death toll ratchets up, the White House remains steadfast in its unconditional support for Israel. And Kyle Anzalone wrote this yesterday, published it yesterday. President Joe Biden said he would not set any red lines for U.S. weapons shipments to Israel. You know, completely constitutional, because it's all about the Constitution. He mentioned that. You got to defend. Oh, no, he said defend democracy. That's right. Interesting, isn't it? In an interview with MSNBC's Jonathan Capehart, Biden refused to place restrictions on what Tel Aviv would have to do before he stopped shipping weapons to Israel. We'll return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. In a somewhat convoluted statement, the president first said there would be red lines on Israel attacking Gaza, but went on to say there is no action that would lead the U.S. to cut off weapons. Biden went on to say there would be consequences if 30,000 more Palestinians died, but didn't explain what crossing that line would be. So I guess 29,000 is okay. As long as you're paying for it, why not? There you go. And you're done. Yeah, as Marty Chang would say. So, given that, let's talk a little bit about Iran. No. Let's talk a little bit about Hamas. No. Yes, let's talk about the people who have supported Hamas oh, you think I'm talking Iran, right? No, we're not talking Iran. Of course, we've mentioned this before, that Benjamin Netanyahu got involved with supporting, you know what, Hamas, as the United States did, specifically for the reason that we've mentioned, that he knew they would be oppositional, would not negotiate, and he didn't want to negotiate with the Palestinian Authority. He wanted to be able to continue encroaching into the lands of the people that they've been encroaching on since the 1940s and continue killing people and holding them hostage, hundreds of them a year, even 13 and 14 year olds and women without charges. But remember now, those aren't hostages. I don't know what they are. Maybe it's sort of like pretending American government is a democracy, but they must have some other term. And maybe they'll find it in the bottom of a cereal box or something like that. Or maybe it'll come, if you get enough Snickers, you'll get a golden bar or something like that. But here is a little bit of information that I want to provide for you right here. This is Chris Van Hollen of Maryland on February 28th. He's a Democrat. And this is the, as you can see, Senate Foreign Relations Committee holding a hearing on so-called Iran's proxy network in the Middle East. And good for this man from Maryland to actually bring up the truth. And as you can see there, Code Pink was protesting the violence and the bloodshed rained down upon the Palestinian civilians. So this is inspired by the folks at Grand Theft World. I hope you got to see them last night. And you can find the Forbes Breaking News YouTube channel. They're very good. I saw part of this last night as Richard and Tony, for their, what, 7-hour show, went through some of this information. So let's give this to you just so that we have it on record. The words are read. It's on this show. And if you want to refer people to this to actually show them, hey, did you know that Benjamin Netanyahu literally did support Hamas for the reasons that we've mentioned numerous times here, so that he could use that as a pretext to invade and attack them? Well, here we go. And this was on the Senate floor at the end of February.
It's also true that these proxies have different origin stories and have different relationships with Tehran. One of them is Hamas, the terror group responsible for the horrific October 7th massacre in Israel. Now, Iran, of course, did not create Hamas, nor does it exercise command and control over Hamas, but they do provide support to Hamas, primarily because of Hamas's despicable goal of destroying Israel and the overall goal of Iran of weakening U.S. influence in the region. I'm one who believes that we should have been doing more all along to weaken Hamas. We've talked about Iran today. We have not discussed the inconvenient truth of the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu himself saw it in his interest to keep Hamas in control in Gaza. Don't take my word for it. He told us this back in 2019 at a Likud party meeting where he said, and I quote, anyone who wants to prevent the creation of a Palestinian state needs to support strengthening Hamas. This is part of our strategy to divide the Palestinians between those in Gaza and those in Judea and Samaria, end quote. Netanyahu. After all, so long as Hamas was in control in Gaza, how could anybody ask Israel to accept a Palestinian state that included Gaza and the West Bank? Good question. So Prime Minister Netanyahu and his extreme right-wing partners have embarked on a concerted strategy to weaken the Palestinian Authority, which recognizes Israel's right to exist, and to strengthen Hamas, which doesn't. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to enter into the record a piece that appeared in Haaretz in October of last year, a brief history of the Netanyahu-Hamas alliance.
Without objection, be included in the record.
We also have heard a lot of talk since October 7th about Qatari funds going to Hamas.
And just to mention, everybody, don't forget that the Hamas leadership is living in Qatar. And I haven't seen the major politicians in the White House or anybody like that asking for them to be extradited for their connections to the terrible crimes that they keep telling us Israel is now allowed to fight by exterminating the civilian population in Gaza. You know, just figured I'd bring that up to you just in case. We'll continue.
Ms. Maloney, isn't it true that those funds flowed with the concurrence of Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israel?
Yes, that's true.
That is true. So when I hear all my colleagues talk about this Qatari money, please recognize that this was done with the consent and encouragement of Prime Minister Netanyahu. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to enter into the record an article, a CNN article, Qatar sent millions to Gaza for years dash with Israel's backing.
Without objection, you included a record.
Very
and
good.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to enter into the record a New York Times article from December of last year entitled Buying Quiet, Inside the Israeli Plan That Propped Up Hamas, subheadline, Prime Minister Netanyahu gambled that a strong Hamas, but not too strong, would keep the peace and reduce pressure for a Palestinian state.
Without objection, be included in the record.
And Ms. Maloney, have you also seen the reports about how Prime Minister Netanyahu was informed about various sources of Hamas's monies kept overseas, including some in Turkey, and decided to ignore those warnings?
I've seen those reports.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to enter into the record a New York Times piece, again from December of last year, headline, Israel found that Hamas money machine, found Hamas money machine years ago. Nobody turned it off.
Without objection.
And I want just to quote from Mr. Levy, who was the Mossad chief in charge of economic policy, who says, and I quote, I can tell you for sure that I talked to him, referring to Prime Minister Netanyahu, about this, unquote. Quote, but he didn't care that much about it. The article goes on to point out that Mr. Netanyahu's Mossad chief shut down Mr. Levy's team, the task force Harpoon, that focused on disrupting the money flowing to groups, including Hamas. So, Mr. Chairman, as we watch what's happening in Gaza in the aftermath of the terrible Hamas attacks of October 7th, and we try to bring that conflict to an end, and President Biden talks about the importance about providing some light at the end of this very dark tunnel by creating a two-state solution to provide security for Israel, including normalization, ultimately, from Saudi Arabia and Arab states, but also a state for Palestinians to live in dignity of their own. Let us remember that lengths that Prime Minister Netanyahu has gone to try to prevent that from happening, including, as all of these articles in fact attest, including going to lengths of strengthening Hamas to try to, in turn, weaken the Palestinian Authority and prevent those negotiations from going forward. It's well documented. He always opposed the Oslo Accords. He's always been opposed to a two-state solution. His coalition right now, and it's in their founding documents, want the entire West Bank effectively annexed by Israel. So we need to go into this with clear eyes as to all the factors that are at play here.
All right. And there's a lot more coming as well, everybody. So we'll give you that information in just a little bit about Israel. But I want to go back to, in fact, this is really more about Israel. Back to antiwar.com. Here we go. Netanyahu will ignore Biden's so-called red line, which is a non-existent red line, and move forward to attack Rafah. The Israeli leader responded to President Joe Biden's remarks that he was harming Israel, claiming his war is popular, instead of what Biden said, well, maybe it's unpopular. I see. So that's really the effect of it. It's just whether it's popular or unpopular, not the fact that you're slaughtering women and children and innocent men in many cases. You don't even know who the suspects are. And of course, he said the fighting would continue for up to 6 weeks. Benjamin otherwise known as Benjamin War Criminal Netanyahu, hit back at President Joe Biden after the American leader criticized the onslaught in Gaza, which wasn't really much of a criticism. And in 5 months, Israel has killed at least 31,000 Palestinians, about two-thirds women and children, and destroyed most of the infrastructure in the Strip. In the process, Israeli forces have displaced most of Gaza's population of 2.3 million people and triggered a humanitarian catastrophe that is nearing outright famine. Well, for more information on that, let's turn to, if we can, let me get the opportunity to do so. Where are they? Where are they? Here we go. Want to turn to the good folks of the Jimmy Dore Show. Check it out, y'all.
After he was hot, I was about how many Palestinians, women, and children, or maybe we do have it, have been killed by Israel since October 7th, Kana asked. Well, is this it?
About how many?
Yes, this is. And what we're talking about here, folks, is Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, you know, when he's not busy working for Raytheon, he's busy helping Raytheon make a lot of money by killing innocent people all around the world, including Ukraine and Gaza and Russia and all over the place, and helping build. There's new word that the United States is going to be setting up new bases over in the Philippines, which is just going to be phenomenal stuff. It's going to be great. And obviously not saber rattling at all against China in any way whatsoever. And will provide lots of money. And, you know, who am I to say where you ought to invest, you know? Lloyd Austin, he had to get that special waiver so he could leave Raytheon to come back more quickly to the government, even though there's actually a prohibition in the government that says you can't do that. They let him do it. I know. It's like, what? I thought there were, no, what are you talking about, rules? They're in power. They can do whatever the heck they want. Come on. P-O-W-E-R over R-U-L-E-S. And who writes the rules? The people in the P-O-W-E-R. We'll check that out again in just a little bit. Here's a little more of Lloyd Austin actually admitting a few things in Washington.
Palestinian women and children have been killed by Israel since.
Here it is. It's right here. What the fuck?
About how many Palestinian women
it?
And children have been killed by Israel since October 7th?
It's over 25,000.
Mr. Secretary, last week, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights.
Wow, that's. He just says it. Watch wow. this.
About how many Palestinian women and children have been killed by Israel since October 7th?
It's over 25,000.
Wow, Mr. Putin's Secretary. A monster, huh?
Yes, last week, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights warned that any transfer of weapon or ammunition to Israel violates international law. About how many precision-guided munitions has the United States given Israel since the beginning of the war?
I don't have that number at my fingertips, but we have endeavored.
Mr. Secretary, it's about 21,000 precision-guided munitions to Israel since the start of the war. Secretary Austin, last week you spoke to Defense Minister Gallant, and you said clearly there needs to be a plan to ensure the safety and support of those sheltering in Rafah before any military operations proceed. National Security Advisor Sullivan has said he has not seen any plan yet. John Kirby said it would be a disaster to invade Rafah. If Netanyahu defies the United States and invades Rafah, will you commit today that you will halt any future military set?
And just to mention, everybody, want to bring this up again. What he's saying there could be taken in the wrong way. That's a ground invasion. They're already bombing Rafah to smithereens. Okay. They've been bombing it for 3 weeks. Thousands of people have been killed there. Okay. So they're talking about a ground invasion there. So it's sort of a false distinction. Okay. Because it gives the impression that they're hands off Rafah right now and that they're not militarily engaging with civilians. You know, in other words, killing them. When you call it engagement. But I just wanted to bring up that distinction. Although Rokana is very, very good here, making some very good points. He sort of, I think, fudges that a little bit. And I wanted to make sure that I brought that up here in our area so that, you know, we're not allowing for that, misleading information or lack of information to go out there.
Sales to Israel?
No.
Obviously, sir, that's a presidential decision, but,
no.
You know, we expect that, And by the way, I spoke to Minister Gallant.
Let's go back here real quick. So he says it's a presidential decision. This is the Secretary of Defense. No care about the U.S. Constitution in any way whatsoever. It's a presidential decision about this, about stopping or funding more or sending more armaments and things like that. And as we saw last week, Antiwar reported there were 100 instances of the United States government funneling weapons to, to Ukraine without congressional permission. Unbelievable. Let's continue.
We expect that. And by the way, I spoke to Minister Gallant last night. And I expect that when we provide munitions to allies and partners, that they'll use them in a responsible way. So.
But would you make a commitment that they defy what we're saying and they violate international law, by the way, which is opposed to National Security Memorandum 18 and National Security Memorandum 20, that if they don't do what we're saying, that we would halt those arms sales or transfers?
Again, decision to halt the provision of security assistance would not be mine. It would be.
What would you recommend?
Well, I certainly, again, I really do expect that that they utilize the weapons that we provide them in a responsible way. And then if they
for time purposes, it seems to me if they're defying what you're telling them, what Kirby's telling them, what Sullivan's telling them, that wouldn't be responsible. Cindy McCain, the head of the World Food Program, has said that the Palestinian children are starving. Extremist settler Storm Rich, Israel's finance minister, stopped American flour, which our taxpayers paid for, to get into Gaza. If Israel again ever stops American-paid aid from getting into Gaza, will you commit to not sending future arms sales?
And by the way, folks, I had that wrong. It was 100 unannounced weapons transfers to Israel, not Ukraine. Of course, you could probably assume they're doing it to Israel, to Ukraine as well. But there you go. And Rokana is really pressing Lloyd Austin. Now, none of this should be necessary, because even if it was all done on the up and up and people knew about it, it wouldn't be constitutional. They are rabidly, rampantly circumventing any constitutional promises that they have in any way whatsoever. They have utter disrespect for you. They do not care for you. They have absolute contempt for you. It's incredible. And at least Rokana's throwing a bone out there. You know, he's not all the way towards the Constitution, but at least he's bringing up the fact that on a practical moral level, as far as the deaths and so on, if they're going to come up with some sort of standard, could they tell us about this standard? No, they have no standard. They're just going to keep doing it.
Again, that's not my decision.
How about you resign, you perfidious, unbelievably scant-moraled person? Will you please resign? Do something for future generations to recognize that at least once in your political career, you showed a little backbone and had some integrity to say, oh, I swore an oath to the Constitution. Oh, there are innocent people getting killed. I can't do this anymore. I've got to get out of here. How about that? Don't draw a pension off my back. Don't draw a pension off my neighbor's back. Don't tell Anarchy Andrew to pay your salary. You and your fastidious little look. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. So sharp. All paid for with our money, while the people in Gaza starve, wear rags, smothered in blood and dust. Isn't it great? What a contrast. An absolutely stark contrast. And by the way, folks, a little more about antiwar.com, because of all things, you might have heard that the Pope had recommended that the United States, that Ukraine negotiate with Russia. I know it's crazy, because the Pope has in the past been very much in favor of aggression against you for, you know, having a fireplace or using a natural gas stove or wanting to draw an internal combustion engine. But in this case, he's actually saying, hey, maybe you might want to shut those engines of war off. Yep, Pope Francis, he spoke up, and guess what? He's getting backlash simply for asking people to negotiate for peace. Yep. The Catholic leader, and you can put Catholic in quotes there, has quotation marks, put an asterisk next to that, has repeatedly offered to mediate peace talks to end the war, Connor Freeman wrote this: Pope Francis is facing backlash from Kyiv for his remarks suggesting Ukraine should go to the negotiating table to work out a diplomatic settlement with Russia. And comments made during an interview conducted last month with RSI, the Swiss broadcaster, the Catholic leader once again offered to act as a mediator between the two warring sides. The Ukrainian government has criticized the Pope and reaffirmed their refusal to negotiate with the Kremlin. Well, isn't that just great? They were ready to negotiate 2 years ago, but I don't know what happened. It was almost like they got a visit from, a guy, Boris the Spider, as the Who might say. Boom, 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 boom. Creepy, crawly. Yes, interviewer Lorenzo Busella put it to the Pope like this. In Ukraine, some call for the courage to surrender of the white flag, but others say this would legitimize the stronger party. What do you think? The Catholic leader responded, It is one interpretation that is true. I think that the strongest one is the one that looks at the situation, thinks about the people, and has the courage of the white flag and negotiates. When you see that you are defeated, that things are not going well, it is necessary to have the courage to negotiate. Well, Popey, come on, Pope man, what are you talking about? Oh, you just, please, come on. And of course, finally, let's round off the Israel-Gaza stuff. In fact, Israel-Ukraine stuff with this final bit. Biden's peer for Gaza is a hollow gesture, as George Galloway mentioned, and it will accomplish nothing, Jonathan Cook wrote. A few observations on President Biden's building of a temporary pier, or what officials are grandly calling a port, to get aid into Gaza. One, though no one is mentioning it, Biden is actually violating Israel's 17-year blockade of Gaza with his plan. Oh, you didn't hear about that, huh? Remember we talked about the water and so on? That was part of their blockade. Gaza doesn't have a seaport or an airport because Israel, its occupier, has long banned it from having either. Israel barred anything getting into Gaza that didn't come through the land crossings it controls. Israel stopped international aid flotillas, often violently, from reaching Gaza to bring in medicine. The blockade also created a captive market for Israel's own poor quality goods, like damaged fruit and vegetables, and allowed Israel to skim off money at the land crossings that should have gone to the Palestinians in fees and duties. It will take many weeks for the U.S. to build this pier offshore and get it up and running. In fact, George Galloway mentioned it could take up to a month. Why the delay? Because every Western capital, including the United States, has supported the blockade for the past 17 years. There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us every Monday through Friday on Rockfin, Rumble, and Twitter starting 6 p.m. Eastern Time, live.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. The TikTok ban is moving forward apace. Again, completely contrary to the U.S. Constitution. The House, according to the New York Times, is moving ahead with the bill targeting TikTok as Trump flips to oppose it. So I'll go over to my Twitter feed just to show you and show you the documentation here so you can check it out now, Funk Soul Brother. And here it is. House to move ahead with bill targeting TikTok as Trump flips to oppose it. There it is. Looked like a plastic doll there, right? Bipartisan. Well, so then it's got to be totally acceptable. If it's bipartisan and it's crushing your rights, it's fine. Bipartisan legislation to force the Chinese owners of the platform to divest or face a ban was moving forward. We always have to move forward in Congress, even after former President Donald J. Trump came out strongly against banning it. Steve banning it? Annie Carney and Jonathan Swan wrote this story. It took two people to write it. It's awesome. So they're moving forward with this. And we all know, we saw Glenn Greenwald doing a good job picking up on this. And I want to show you a little bit more. Let's go into the TikTok ban, shall we? And ask a few questions. Want to ask you over it. Yeah, not a TikTok. At Rockfin, Rumble, and in Twitter/X. Offer your comments about this. Because it seems to me they have some ulterior motives. Like, oh, I don't know, control. Here's Glenn Greenwald showing their massive hypocrisy. This is, of course, the man who worked with Ed Snowden, who helped expose the fact that the United States government was engaging in this. You know, that's when Senator Ron Wyden asked James Clapper, if the United States government was spying on Americans. And he said, no. And Wyden, who knew that they were, said, no, you're not collecting it. Not knowingly. Yes, knowingly. Yes, very knowingly. Here's Glenn Greenwald.
Powerful behemoth in which all power is centralized because that's what they can control more. Now, here is Joe Biden. He is going on some sort of victory lap after his State of the Union address where he didn't fall down, where his teeth didn't fall out, where he didn't start having saliva come out of his mouth. And he is getting ready to leave for Philadelphia to go to a campaign event. And he was asked about this issue with TikTok, and here's what he said. Let's see if we can play this video.
I just saw a little bit on television. You said that she's a very talented woman. I didn't quite understand the connection she was making.
This question, do you still support banning TikTok? Would you sign that bill?
So the question was, do you still support banning TikTok? Will you sign this bill? And here was Biden's answer.
If they pass it, I'll sign it.
Mr. President, who is going to provide...
All right, so there you have it. And that's not a surprise. Joe Biden has been supporting a ban of TikTok for a long time now. Earlier today on his Truth Social media platform, Donald Trump also addressed this bill. And he had a much different response than Joe Biden. Donald Trump said the following. If you get rid of TikTok, Facebook, and Zuckerschmuck, it will double their business. I don't want Facebook, who cheated in the last election, doing better. They are a true enemy of the people. And then Rand Paul put that into his own language, and he said the following. This is Senator Rand Paul, the Republican from Kentucky. Quote, if Congress bans TikTok, they will be acting just like the Chinese communists who have also banned TikTok. Why not just defend the First Amendment? So ordinarily, right-wing media loves to convince its audience that Joe Biden is weak on national security, he's weak on Russia, he's weak on Israel, he's weak on China. And yet here you have Joe Biden with a very aggressive foreign policy of fueling a war against Russia, of paying for and supporting Israel's war in Gaza, of bombing Yemen continuously without congressional approval, of bombing sites that he claims are backed by Iranian militias in Iraq and Syria. He has militarily encircled China by putting bases, military bases, all around them in almost every direction. And now here is Joe Biden saying that he supports a ban of TikTok on the grounds that it's controlled by the Chinese, while Donald Trump saying the only thing this will do is drive more and more people into Facebook.
Now, let's talk about circling here. Let's do something real quick and draw a quick circle around Donald Trump's argument and show how weak his argument is and how it's a totally consequentialist, immoral statement. Because as we see here, let's go back to this. As we see, He writes, if you get rid of TikTok, Facebook and Zuckerschmuck will double their business. It's not you shouldn't get rid of TikTok on principle. It's if you do this, then these other people will do better. And then he adds, I don't want Facebook, who cheated in the last election, doing better. So it's personal to him. And he says they are a true enemy of the people. So let me get this straight. If he can describe, and this shows you the danger of that, this sort of ridiculous, fatuous position. If a politician like Trump can somehow successfully describe an online platform that allows people to talk there and has its own rules, and of course, we'll get to it in just a minute. If he can describe them as an enemy of the people, then it's okay. Now, maybe if someone were to talk to Donald Trump, they would say, so do you mean that you're all in favor of complete freedom of speech? Or are you saying that if you could describe some enemy of the people, as he did in the past, just openly saying, I think they're enemies of the people, and he didn't try to censor people. So we have to give Trump that credit. But it leaves a lot of room if you're not defending the principle of freedom of speech. Because people could say, well, they are an enemy of the people, X, Y, or Z, platform, you know, KitKat or something like that, right? Rather than TikTok, whatever it might be, right? If you come from bizarro world, right? So if you don't lay it down on principle, which is what Rand Paul did there, or at least on the First Amendment, the principle would be, I'm not going to use aggression to take my neighbor's money to fund a policing system to then shut people down and make that even worse, right? So it's a double injury. You're taking money and creating a police force to then shut down people's speech. So injury upon injury, right? So this is where Donald Trump never seems to get it. Whether it's about the jabs or the other things, he'll promote himself. Oh, we got this done. We did this. We did that. No, it's not. You have no moral or constitutional so-called prerogative to do any of that stuff. That's the baseline. You don't have to think about it any more complicated. No 4D chess. You just stop. Leave people the heck alone. So let's go back to Glenn Greenwald and again, get reminded of what Joe Biden has been doing and what he represents, the threat to speech. This is a man who no longer lives in the United States and likely would be arrested if he came back to the United States. This is a man who supports Julian Assange and worked with Julian Assange to help get information out about U.S. war crimes. This is a man who worked with Edward Snowden. And no, I don't think Edward Snowden is a cutout. This is a man who worked with Edward Snowden to get information out about what the United States government was doing to people. Spying on us.
Russia, he's weak on. On Israel, he's weak on. China, and yet here you have Joe Biden with a very aggressive foreign policy of fueling a war against Russia, of paying for and supporting Israel's war in Gaza, of bombing Yemen continuously without congressional approval, of bombing sites that he claims are backed by Iranian militias in Iraq and Syria. He has militarily encircled China by putting bases, military bases, all around them in almost every direction. And now here is Joe Biden saying that he supports a ban of TikTok on the grounds that it's controlled by the Chinese, while Donald Trump saying the only thing this will do is drive more and more people into Facebook. And if you're a conservative, why would you want to do that, given how much you know about the government's ability to control the flow of information on Facebook and their ability to censor Facebook? Now, another Republican congressman, Thomas Massey, who is one of the more independent-minded and freedom-oriented people in the Congress, said this, quote, next week, the House will vote to give Biden the power to decide which apps you can run on your phone based on whether he deems them to be owned by a foreign adversary. I've never used TikTok, but I'm not voting to give the president new powers to ban it and other apps.
So let's ask this question, everybody. Where would Congress get the power to do that in the first place? The First Amendment explicitly says Congress shall pass no law abridging the freedom of speech. Does it have to be any clearer? Well, you see, corporate status. Oh, I see. Well, then again, we go back into Cabrini-Green and the ruling on unconstitutional conditions. Just because someone asks the government to do something for it doesn't mean that the government can demand in return that people have to give up their so-called constitutionally protected rights, which is what Cabrini Green was all about the Fourth Amendment, no-knock raids at a place where people got Section 8 housing, and the government was going to demand that they had to allow for no-knock raids to search for drugs at any time if they were going to be there. It was the quid pro quo. It was the, you've got to do this, and we will do this. Well, the Supreme Court ruled against that. And as I mentioned, I believe that if that were applied consistently, that would ban the TSA, as it should be banned, and it would ban a lot of other things. Now, out in California, I believe, I'm not sure where it is, but they're going to try to institute drug testing for welfare recipients. They were already going to do that years ago, probably over a decade ago in Florida, and that was found unconstitutional. You can't do that, right? Why? Because it's an invasion of the Fourth Amendment. So they're going to have to go to court on that, and it's been a lot of years. Evidently, they don't remember that, and it's likely that the court will find the same way they found with Cabrini Green. However, they have been inconsistent, and if you do look up the Hillsdale College, Grove City College battles against the federal government over Title IX and the fact that the feds were going to make them conform to Title IX if they took federal money or they had students that got federal college loans, you'll see that the Supreme Court found in favor of the federal government, which I believe that they would find in favor of the federal government if somebody challenged the TSA on those appropriate grounds of unconstitutional conditions and the Fourth Amendment. So in this case, you've got many people arguing, well, yeah, you know, absolutely right. The request to form a corporation is a request of government favor that allows the members of the corporation to then shield their personal assets from any potential liability in lawsuits, and only the assets of the corporation are put at risk. And then they start to play the game even further with the government to get other types of assistance and things like that. And the government then starts to adjust the tax codes for corporations for various reasons, for sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. But the corporate entity existence status is not something that's even provided for the federal government to do in their constitution. So there shouldn't be any such thing as corporations on a federal level in the United States. And this is a problem that many people cite as part of their reason to say, well, yeah, very clearly, you know, the government can demand this or demand that from the corporations that it creates, or revoke the corporate status, or not allow them to trade. No. No, I think all of those are piling more injury upon the initial injury of the corporate status. And the less often that happens, the better. So you can't ban TikTok. You just can't do it. And it's the same thing as imposing sanctions on foreign goods. You could impose a tariff constitutionally on something that was so high, people wouldn't be able to buy it anymore from a foreign country. You could do that. So they could put a tariff on the purchase of TikTok. That's what they could do. But otherwise, they can't do anything else. They can't ban it outright. They can't say, no, you can't sell this. They can only put a charge on that constitutionally. And again, you know, being a voluntarist, you know, I try to be as fair as possible assessing these things, but it does rub me the wrong way. Maybe it rubs you the wrong way if you're a voluntarist like I am, because, you know, I just, it frustrates me that these people are such bottom feeders, not Glenn Greenwald in any way, but the politicians, and not Thomas Massie. They're such bottom feeders that they will do anything expedient for them. They will use any rhetoric possible, and they will take actions that are totally, utterly contemptuous of the U.S. Constitution. There, I used it appropriately in that case. Okay, so here we go.
How is that not the view of every single conservative and every single person who's not a conservative who has expressed serious concerns about the ability and the desire and the success of the American U.S. security state to control the flow of information on the Internet? Here is Congresswoman Kathy McMorris, a Democrat from the state of Washington, very typical pro-national security state Democrat, who went on CNBC today, and you'll hear her rationale. She invokes China over and over, tries to raise fear about what China is doing on this app in a way that makes no sense. Listen to what it is she said.
Congresswoman, it's hard to decide what to do. Everybody wants to allow corporations.
I think I said Democrat. I meant she's a Republican from Washington, but a very entrenched Republican in the pro-national security state. I think I said, did I say Democrat? Anyway, she's a Republican from the state of Washington.
Even if they're not U.S., we don't want to ban corporations. We don't want to ban free speech. And TikTok very effectively has reached me with their ads now. They've got this cute little nun that's doing a bunch of good works that she needs TikTok to do that. Have you seen that? She's got.
I love the way they portray this. We don't want to ban free speech, but TikTok, that's not free speech. We will define what is and is not free speech as we proceed to ban free speech.
There's another one. We're talking about a neurosurgeon who lost his son in a drunk driving accident, and he's been able to reach people so that trying to make it. They're very smooth and sort of, I don't know if it's conniving, but is this the CCP tugging on my heartstrings to allow TikTok to remain, so that we don't do anything about it?
Well, just because they say it doesn't make it true, and they are collecting massive amounts of data, 170 million users that are on TikTok. This is how China operates. This is how the CCP operates. And they are you.
Okay, this is how the CCP operates. They collect enormous amounts of data about their users. Now, just let's stop for a second and examine this. Obviously, this is how the U.S. government operates as well. The U.S. government collects enormous amounts of data about American citizens every single day. Not only that, this is the reason why this argument has never made any sense, that the Chinese needed to invest in a new social media app, invest billions of dollars in it, build it up over years, promote it, build it into this very popular app in order to spy on the American public with regard to how they use their computers, when we all know that not only do Facebook and Google and the other big tech American-based giants collect all that, it's also then sold on the open market. The Chinese don't need to create a social media app to lure Americans to use it to spy on them. They can go buy all of this data about our browsing history and everything else that we do online on the open market. In fact, here's NBC News and a report that we covered in July of 2023. Quote, U.S. government buys data on Americans with little oversight. Report finds. The report published by the Office of Director of National Intelligence offers fresh insight into how U.S. intelligence agencies have capitalized on the widespread availability of for-purchase data about Americans. And we reported on this, and what the U.S. security state was doing was buying and is buying enormous amounts of invasive data about the online behavior of American citizens that they would be prohibited constitutionally from collecting on their own absent a search warrant. In other words, anybody can go and buy this data, including the Chinese. Why would they need a social media app in order to go do it?
And the other thing that I think is great here, everybody, I just want to mention, I want to go back a second just real quick. Doesn't that image of the White House remind you of something like from the Amityville Horror? It's like a haunted house or something like that, you know? Like, you expect to see Abe Lincoln's ghost out there revoking people's rights to habeas corpus. I mean, it's categorized as a privilege, but yeah, in the Constitution. But then again, only Congress is supposed to be able to lift the writ. So, lift the writ sounds like a board game. It's Lift the Writ, the funniest board game for 8 players and more. Lift the Writ. What color square will you land on? Lift the writ. All right. Oh, you landed on tyranny. Going to jail forever. It's Lift the Writ. Buy it now from Parker Brothers. Lift the Writ. Oh, man. So this is very interesting. And, of course, I have to really thank all of you in the chats, because you have absolutely right. As you say, Brian Deb McCartney, and thanks for being there. If they ban TikTok, they better ban the FBI, CIA, etc. They are much more dangerous. And they're engaging in this all the time. I guess they don't like competition, huh? All right, let's continue.
The reality is that the U.S. government wants this data. It wants to force all Americans onto the apps where it can spy and where it can control the flow of information. Here's the rest of
exactly
what she said.
China operates. This is how the CCP operates, and they are using this to surveil, to target and manipulate data. We saw a real-time example yesterday at, when we were in the middle of this hearing and markup, where users on TikTok were blocked from being able to get onto the app until they called their representative and told them to not support this legislation. That is just...
So let me see if I can figure this out. The group of people who are claiming the power over this company being able to survive in this country, which they've already made tons and tons of concessions, right? Previously under Trump, they've already made tons of concessions, like moving a particular branch into the United States and putting it under United States subcorporation control and things like this. Well, these people, she's upset that TikTok might say, hey, users, we're about to get attacked. The attackers, it's absolute gaslighting. The attackers are saying, how dare they send word out that we're about to go after them? let me see if I can study that under a microscope there. Ooh, wow, that's kind of ugly hypocrisy.
That was one real-time example of how they can manipulate Americans for their own purposes.
What TikTok did is what all companies did, which is use its platform to advocate against laws they perceive against their interests, such as a bill to ban TikTok from the U.S. And they gave people the information and said, call your member of Congress and tell them what you think about this bill to ban TikTok. And obviously, most TikTok users don't want TikTok banned. That's why they choose to use it.
This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
Eleutheromania, the insatiable desire for freedom.
We have been enslaved for all our lives.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Remember, find Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X feed at Guard Goldsmith. We try to mix in music, energy, power, and your opinions, so join us in the conspiracy because, of course, freedom is out of fashion. It's like they sent it off into space or something. And we need, you know what, my friends, the mothership to get it back.
Now to breaking news in our nation's capital. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S.
Yes? Oh, hello. Hello. We're Mary's parents.
Oh, well, come on in, fellas.
Hold it a second. Mary's parents burned to death last year. Wait a minute. I know you guys. You're from the News Flash.
What's on tap, my friends? Well, we're going to be tripping the light fantastic, everybody. We're heading off to, yeah, you got it, a band that I have not played on this show before. It is TikTok time, so we have a lot of musical choices to go with. I almost went with 25 O'Clock by the Dukes of Stratosphere. I almost went with Time by Pink Floyd. I could have gone with Time by a number of other bands, in fact. But instead, I'm going with a band that showed a lot of promise for a lot of years before they, of course, jumped the proverbial egotistical shark. It is U2.
It's 11 o'clock. TikTok.
Yes, of course, this is 11 o'clock TikTok. I don't think I'll be seeing you two ever again. Saw them a number of times, but once they put out the Unforgivable Fire, that was it. I was done. Forget it. Enough. Well, it's almost midnight for TikTok. It has passed the house, so let's get into that story, everybody. And first off, let's discuss, well, let's see, where are we going to go first? Let's go to antiwar.com and check out their story about 11 o'clock TikTok, my friends. Yes, of course, TikTok getting slammed by the house. Here it is, everybody. House passes Biden-supported bill that could ban TikTok. And, of course, we all know that the great hero Donald Trump, after he introduced the unconstitutional executive order 4 years ago on this day to establish lockdowns of your business, well, he doesn't want to have a lockdown of TikTok. So at least he's learned a little tiny bit there, huh? Here it is from Kyle Anzalone of the Libertarian Institute and antiwar.com, everybody. The House passed a bill that will allow the president to ban TikTok without an ownership change. Opponents of the legislation warned that it will give the executive a massive amount of power to control online discourse. The bill now heads to the Senate. President Joe Biden says he will sign the deal if it reaches his desk. Well, that should be pretty much a done deal because the Senate is definitely going to pass this, I think. I'm about 95% sure on that one. It's called, get this, everybody, Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, PAFACAA. PAFACA. Yeah, I don't know. But it is the, again, Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. It was introduced by Representative Mike Gallagher of Republican and so-called Representative Democrat Raja Krishnamurti. And it would order TikTok's Chinese owner ByteDance to divest its shares from the company within 6 months or face an effective ban in the U.S. Now, don't forget, everybody. We covered some of this stuff. They already have shifted their data storage and so on and management to the United States after they gave concessions a couple of years ago. That's not enough. Why? Evidently, people are pretty upset that there might be criticism of Israel coming through on TikTok. Footage coming through on TikTok. Very valuable and important footage that exposes what's going on in Gaza. And maybe a few other things, because it seems like they haven't been able to control TikTok, even though they've been able to control Facebook and Twitter and things like that. They don't seem to like that. And of course, fatuously, they're claiming that the Chinese are going to be gathering our data. We showed you some great footage from Glenn Greenwald as he went through that. And we're going to go through that footage again from Glenn Greenwald because he did such a stellar job the other day. In fact, I think it was on Friday that he did that. It's a number of days old, but it is still very, very salient. The House passed it 352 to 65. The bill had bipartisan support with 197 Republicans and 155 Democrats voting for it. Proponents of the bill, such as, of course, representatives so-called of New York Elise Stefanik. You know, she's the one who called up people from universities, never mentioned that she's already dipping into your pocket to fund the universities. That wasn't the problem for her. It was that they weren't going far enough to silence their students who were protesting about Israeli slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza. She, of course, portrayed most of that as being anti-Semitic rather than anti-Zionist, anti-political, you know, not humanitarian, not asking for a ceasefire, but of course, anti-Semitic, because that's the go-to. That's the gaslight. You're the bad one if you would like the people in Israel, many of whom aren't even Semitic, who run that government, to stop slaughtering people like they did yesterday at another food depot. And of course, Stefanik was one of them, and she argued Beijing uses TikTok to influence young Americans. Oh, so does that mean that it's bad for the United States government to, I don't know, spend millions and millions of dollars under the, as I often mention, Portman Murphy Countering Foreign Propaganda Act to fund things like NewsGuard to shut down me and my friends at MRC TV and perhaps you to fund other things? Is it bad, Ms. Stefanik, for the United States government to give $3.5 million to Twitter to silence people who are actually saying the correct things about the fact that the so-called COVID-19 pandemic was not a pandemic, that there's no possible way to know how many people died because of it, because you people in government were subsidizing the hospitals to gin up PCR tests and claim that people who came in positive on the ginned up PCR tests, somehow if they died from COVID rather than with a positive PCR test. How about that stuff? How about that? Is it possible, Ms. New York Congresswoman, when you co-sponsor the act, that you think perhaps the United States has not been engaging in spying on people, in engaging in influencing people without our consent? People consent to get TikTok, don't they? Right, you guys? I don't have TikTok on my phone. I got it on my computer and I use it maybe once every 2 weeks. I have found some pretty good information there recently about Palestinians being slaughtered. Let's find out a little bit about what happened on the House floor as one guy stood up against this. I bet you can guess who he was. He's right there. He's a man from Kentucky. His name is Thomas Massey.
He is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I know the sponsors of this bill are sincere in their concerns and in their effort to protect Americans. They've described the TikTok application as a Trojan horse, but there are some of us who feel that either intentionally or unintentionally, this legislation to ban TikTok is actually a Trojan horse. Some of us are concerned that there are First Amendment implications here. Americans have the right to view information. We don't need to be protected by the government from information. Some of us just don't want the president picking which apps we can put on our phones or which websites that we can visit. We don't think that's appropriate. We also think it's dangerous to give the president that kind of power, to give him the power to decide what Americans can see on their phones and their computers. To give him that sort of discretion, we also think is dangerous. Now, people say that this TikTok ban will only apply to TikTok or maybe another company that pops up just like TikTok. But the bill is written so broadly that the president could abuse that discretion and include other companies that aren't just social media companies and that aren't, as some people would believe, controlled by foreign adversaries. Again, we're giving the president that discretion to decide whether it is controlled by a foreign adversary. There were some people who were legitimately concerned that this was an overly broad bill, and they got an exclusion written into the bill that I want to read. It says the term covered company does not include an entity that operates a website or application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information and reviews. Why is this exception in the bill? Why did somebody feel like they needed this exception if the bill itself only covers social media applications that foreign adversaries are running? These and other questions we hope to answer in the course of this debate, and I reserve the balance of my time. The gentleman.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. A couple points that I would like to make there as Thomas Massey gives that good information. And first, I do think there are a couple things missing there from what Thomas Massie said. I don't think this is a Trojan horse because this is not an attractive gift at all. And I also wish that he had said that they don't have the power enumerated to them under the Constitution to give the president this power in the first place. And I have often heard people say, well, this is a Chinese company. So, you know, the fact that they're doing this to this Chinese company, that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. It doesn't matter whom the United States Congress is trying to silence. The First Amendment clearly reads, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of free association. Very clear. It doesn't matter whether the speech is coming from somebody from Canada or China or anywhere. Congress doesn't have that enumerated power based on their rule book for their game that they sign on to play on and play into and that you are forced to pay for. That's it. It's like a bunch of people going into a Vegas blackjack table. They agree to play. They're taking your money and the rules are set out for them, but they want to continue to flout the frigging rules. So this is not a Trojan horse. That's the one area where I would disagree with Congressman Massie. And I would also disagree with others who portray it as a Trojan horse because it is already an ugly beast. It's not a Trojan horse. It doesn't look good at the start. It is an unconstitutional expansion, one of the most egregious expansions of congressional and executive power, if this passes the Senate, in the history of the planet Earth. There is no denying this. To be able to shut down and also to claim that they are an adversary, as I mentioned on the show numerous times in the past, is also completely unfounded. It's an unscrupulous use of the term adversary at a time when the United States Congress has not declared war, so the United States technically has no frigging adversaries. It doesn't have any adversaries. You can't claim that China is an adversary if you haven't cited them as an enemy and declared war. Otherwise, that's it. Think about George Washington's statement when he left office. And they're out there claiming that these people are adversaries. Now let's go to Dan Crenshaw, one of the most despicable people on this subject and many, many others in the long history of that corrupt institution called the United States Congress. Listen to what this guy has to say. Completely bereft of any notation of the document he swore to uphold, both in the military and when he got into Congress. Listen to this guy riding on your back like you're a surfboard on the ocean of filth and grime and rhetoric that these people spout out. It is amazing. As Charles Dickens said, you could fertilize a field with that verbal offal. Here we go.
Now, a radio tower owned by the Chinese to be put up right in the middle of Washington, D.C., and then allow it to just put out Chinese propaganda.
He's making a little comparison. This is allowing TikTok is like allowing the Chinese to put out a radio tower, likening it to the FCC. Got to control the radio waves. We've mentioned before that also is an unfounded claim based on an expansionist interpretation of the Interstate Commerce Clause. I got in a mini debate with this with then Congressman Ed Markey, now U.S. Senator Ed Markey. The FCC is unconstitutional. It started as the FRC, the Federal Radio Commission. It plays favorites with certain people who cozy up to the government. It has been used to shut down people in the past. Section 230 of the 1996 Telecommunications Act is used as a lever to pressure online people now to say, well, if you go by what we say is a good faith curation of the material you put on there, then we'll let you continue to operate. Then we had just a couple months ago, the executive order from President Biden saying, I'm issuing an executive order for anyone who puts together algorithms or software that might in any way be considered AI. And that's all computer programs, by the way. And that goes down to the zeros and the ones that could be seen as having medical or national defense applications, which is anything. That's a word. That's a punctuation mark. These people are out of control and they don't even realize it. They think that they are gaining more control and providing more security for their government. They're crushing centuries of rights that human beings fought to support. Centuries, millennia of rights that were developed through common law interactions. Fighting monarchs, fighting emperors, fighting so-called representative bodies, like what happened after the French Revolution. This is a time we cannot deny what's going on. If this is allowed to stand, if people don't protest this, then a lot is going to turn down real fast as the election approaches. I bet you all sense this. You're saying, "Guard, you're not telling me anything I don't know." Well, hopefully, if you're listening in your car, you're raising your fist saying, "I agree," and you'll do something about it too. Let's continue with this incredible, incredibly deceitful criminal, Dan Crenshaw.
You probably complain about that. That's exactly what TikTok can be used for.
Start that again.
Because now a radio tower owned by the Chinese to be put up right in the middle of Washington, D.C., and then allow it to just put out Chinese propaganda. You probably complain about that. That's exactly what TikTok can be used for, because millions of Americans are addicted to it. They see it, and the Chinese can absolutely manipulate those algorithms. The First Amendment does not give the Chinese Communist Party the right to American data or the right to manipulate the minds of Americans.
So, okay, there's a lot to be said there about the Chinese Communist Party and manipulating Americans and so on. Let's just check. Have any of you heard any of the commercials on the radio brought to you by the Ad Council, or perhaps ads from Pfizer or Moderna? Get your jab, because of course they're subsidized as well. How about your local school where your child is propagandized by government composed pedagogy, as they tried to foist on me at a school and I wouldn't do it when I was teaching economics, and they tried to say, well, go with this federal idea of asking the kids to come up with an example of market failure. And I said, the market doesn't fail. The market is an ongoing process that incorporates and requires failure of individuals in it so that other people can learn. Get it? Stupid? No, you don't get it. Well, no, it's not stupid. That woman was, she's an intelligent woman, but just ignorant. Didn't want to learn, didn't care. And Dan Crenshaw doesn't want you to learn, doesn't want you to care at all. Just unbelievable. Absolutely incredible. There's a lot more to discuss here, everybody. So let's get into this. All right. Let's see. If you get the opportunity, head over to my my Twitter/X. And don't forget to spread the word about this. Also, there's another really good video out there from Serge the Purge as he's talking about CBDC. Hopefully be able to tell you about that in a little while. But again, let's look at what Thomas Massie had to say about the Trojan horse, as he put it, which I think is a little bit inappropriate because it's bad from the start. It doesn't look attractive at all. He says the president will be given the power to ban websites, not just apps. The person breaking the new law is deemed to be the U.S. or offshore internet hosting service or app store, not the foreign adversary. So we'll do like we did last night. This is from the bill. It defines foreign adversary. The term foreign adversary, controlled application, means a website, desktop application, mobile application, or augmented or immersive technology application. Then we've got this, and it can be indirectly tied to any foreign country. So how much investment is enough? The government will decide. It has this, providing services to distribute, maintain, or update such foreign adversary-controlled application by means of a marketplace, including an online mobile application store through which users within the land or maritime borders of the United States may access, maintain, or update such applications, and providing, yes, ISPs, internet hosting services. So there you go. Remember how we talked about how Elizabeth Warren And by the way, that also applies to Section 230, because if you're an ISP, the federal government will withdraw its protection against liability from state suits or defamation suits for internet service providers if they deem that you have not curated at your ISP in as the government defines it, good faith. But the internet hosting services, that's something that Elizabeth Warren and Lindsey Graham have been pushing to have licensed if you have over a certain number of users. Don't forget, they've got a bill. It hasn't had a vote yet, but they've got a bill floating around the Senate for that. Okay. So, by the way, if you're watching this over in the UK, spread the word, because we're following you in your footsteps with that online safety stuff. Same thing with Ireland. Yeah, as they want to define hatred online. It's unbelievable. So let's now go to some comments from some very good people at Redacted. Here is Clayton Morris and Natalie Morris from this afternoon's Redacted with what I thought were just absolutely valuable, extremely valuable comments about this.
So here's what Massey was talking about. He's talking about in this foreign adversary controlled application. In the bill, the term foreign adversary controlled application means a website, desktop application, mobile application. So a website? Okay, so now this is what the power of the White House will have in its possession, is the power to ban websites. We already see that across Europe. Europe doesn't want you to access information about Russia. They block websites all the time. So now we're going to become like...
This is literally why we shake our head against China. Like, oh, they can't really Google things like Falun Dafa.
Yeah.
Or they can't see websites
Tiananmen Square,
about Tiananmen Square. Yeah. Right. But, okay. Get ready for that reality. Yep.
You think this is just limited to TikTok? Get your head out of your ass.
Right.
You guys are smart who are watching this right now. You know. And then here's what Thomas Massey says about the providing services. Here's a problem. If it provides services to distribute, maintain, or update such foreign adversary-controlled applications by means of a marketplace, an online mobile application store, through which users within the land or the maritime borders of the United States may access, maintain, or update such application, providing internet hosting services. Also, as part of this, VPN services. Like if you're using VPNs would be a problem. Here's what Massey says. If you think this isn't a Trojan horse and will only apply to TikTok and foreign adversary social media companies, then contemplate why someone thought it was important to get a very specific exclusion for their internet-based business written into the bill. As he just held up, the term covered company does not include the entity that operates a website, desktop application, mobile application, or augmented. Excuse me, I'm reading the wrong one here. Or immersive technology application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information in reviews. Isn't that hilarious?
It's weird, too. Just
such a weird carve-out.
Just Yelp.
Just New York Times.
TripAdvisor.
And like their wire cutter website.
Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
We're back on Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X. That's at Guard Goldsmith.
You think this is just limited to TikTok? Get your head out of your ass.
Right.
You guys are smart who are watching this right now. You know. And then here's what Thomas Massey says about the providing services to... Here's the problem. If it provides services to distribute, maintain, or update such foreign adversary-controlled applications by means of a marketplace, an online mobile application store, through which users within the land or the maritime borders of the United States may access, maintain, or update such application, providing internet hosting services. Also, as part of this, VPN services, like if you're using VPNs, would be a problem. Here's what Massey says. If you think this isn't a Trojan horse and will only apply to TikTok and foreign adversary social media companies, then contemplate why someone thought it was important to get a very specific exclusion for their internet-based business written into the bill. As he just held up, the term covered company does not include the entity that operates a website, desktop application, mobile application, or augmented. Excuse me, I'm reading the wrong one here. Or immersive technology application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information in reviews. Isn't that hilarious?
It's weird, too. Just
such a weird carve-out.
Just Yelp.
Just New York Times.
TripAdvisor.
And like their wire cutter website or something like that?
No, it's specifically saying to review products and businesses and services, which is like, yeah, Trustpilot. and things like that's weird. Like, yeah. why do they only think it's okay for us to review products?
Gary Cushing in our chat says, you need to look at what's in the full bill as they scream TikTok, as always redacted, is ahead of the curve on this on the idiot mainstream media. Thank you for always showing what is behind the curtain on this bill. Oh, it gets worse, Gary, but thank you for saying that. Because their argument, again, they want you to focus on China. I don't care whatever you feel about China. That's irrelevant here. It's what's written in the bill and what powers it gives to the United States government. Forget TikTok and forget China.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And later in the, maybe tomorrow, I will crack open that book about the fake China threat that was published by, I believe, the Independent Institute. Very slim volume, similar to How the West Brought War to Ukraine. And we'll start reading passages from that in our Fight for 15. We'll bring that back. Can't do it tonight because we're going to be so full up on stuff. And I really, really appreciate all of you believing in freedom and seeing some of the things that aren't being mentioned here. One of the big elephants in the room is the very, very obvious point that needs to be stressed, that they have agreed to run by the Constitution, and the Constitution explicitly does not allow this. It prohibits precisely this. If there is anything in the past 20 years that could come to people's mind to say, hey, guess what? You not only don't have this power, you are verboten from doing this. You are forbidden from doing this. It's this. Let's get the word out. There's even more, my friends, even more. Let's go back to Glenn Greenwald and what he had to say about this as we got to see Representative Kathy, so-called Representative Kathy McMorris, offer her ridiculous nonsense from the Republican side of things here. Check this out. Oh, man. This is Glenn Greenwald doing a good job. I believe he did this on Friday.
We don't want to, like, ban corporations. We don't want to ban free speech. And TikTok very effectively has reached me with their ads now. They've got, like, this cute little nun that's doing a bunch of good works that she needs TikTok to do that. Have you seen that? She's got there's another one. We're talking about a neurosurgeon who lost his son in a drunk driving accident, and he's been able to reach people so that it, trying to make it – I mean, they're very smooth and sort of – I don't know if it's conniving, but is this the CCP tugging on my heartstrings to allow TikTok to remain, so that we don't do anything about it?
Well, just because they say it doesn't make it true, and they are collecting massive amounts of data, 170 million users that are on TikTok. This is how China...
Collecting massive amounts of data, as opposed to what? Maybe he could have gotten James Clapper on and asked James Clapper a question that, oh, I don't know, over 10 years ago, Ron Wyden asked him. How about that? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, Republican of Washington, representing what? Representing oppression, tyranny, authoritarianism, egotism, hubris, and every other possible adjective or defining term we could use for a person who wants to stop you from engaging your free will. And then fatuously comes up with these terms and expressions of the Chinese are collecting the data. The Chinese will collect, they'll propagandize people, Mr. Congressman, with your eye patch on and your heroics that you get praised for because you were overseas in a military operation that was unconstitutional and you were already breaching your oath. Mr. Crenshaw is a criminal. Mr. Crenshaw is engaging in criminal activity and trying to smooth it over like icing on a poison cake. He's disregarding major things that should be like thunderclouds in the sky approaching. As they said in Wizard of Oz, there's going to be a twister, and we're not going to be able to click our heels three times and just go home. We're stuck in this. Let's continue as Glenn nailed it.
This is how the CCP operates, and they are you?
Okay, this is how the CCP operates. They collect enormous amounts of data about their users. Now, just let's stop for a second and examine this. Obviously, this is how the U.S. government operates as well. The U.S. government collects enormous amounts of data about American citizens every single day. Not only that, this is the reason why this argument has never made any sense, that the Chinese needed to invest in a new social media app, invest billions of dollars in it, build it up over years, promote it, build it into this very popular app in order to spy on the American public with regard to how they use their computers, when we all know that not only do Facebook and Google and the other big tech American-based giants collect all that, it's also then sold on the open market. The Chinese don't need to create a social media app to lure Americans to use it to spy on them. They can go buy all of this data about our browsing history and everything else that we do online on the open market. In fact, here's NBC News and a report that we covered in July of 2023. Quote, U.S. government buys data on Americans with little oversight, report finds. The report published by the Office of Director of National Intelligence offers fresh insight into how U.S. intelligence agencies have capitalized on the widespread availability of for-purchase data about Americans. And we reported on this, and what the U.S. security state was doing was buying and is buying enormous amounts of invasive data about the online behavior of American citizens that they would be prohibited constitutionally from collecting on their own absent a search warrant. In other words,
whoa, yeah, I'm going to stop it right there. Okay, there we go. That's better. Now, I want to turn real quick, everybody, over to the chat. And I have really appreciated the chat so many times because we get to mix in on Liberty Conspiracy opinions of people that I do believe are part of a very, very good group. And I want to turn right now to the Rockfin chat because there's an exchange there. And I hope you guys don't mind me mentioning this, but I really want to bring this in and get this out to people who might just be listening and not watching online. Angus Mustang said, I don't think we could get the numbers to change this. Too many, because Thomas said, when are people going to rise up? And he says, too many sheeple can't get involved. They have to keep tabs on Taylor Swift. And Tom says, oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, they can go down. They can anyway. Then Angus says, I actually heard a woman on a plane the other day. She can't take the news anymore, so she follows what Taylor and Travis are doing. And Angus says, I wanted to turn around and smack her, but we were on a Boeing, and I was afraid any quick movement will cause the plane to fall out of the sky. That was classic. Excellent. Excellent. JB, thanks for being there. Angus, you guys rock. You are the guys and gals that I love. I like it. Oh, man, I like our. Yes. Yes, I am from the belly of liberalism, New England. So true. So true. New Hampshire just sold out. Absolutely disgusting. Now, let's continue some of this coverage, everybody, because there's even more that I want to give to you. Okay, so if we're looking at this TikTok ban thing, here's a little bit more from Thomas Massie and this exclusion. I want to reiterate this. If you think this isn't a Trojan horse and will only apply to TikTok and foreign adversary social media companies, again, that definition is completely useless. It's something that they bandy around and people just blithely accept it. Oh, they're foreign adversaries. Continue to repeat. Continue to repeat. Yep, continue to repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. Then contemplate, says Massie, why someone thought it was important to get a very specific exclusion for their internet-based business written into the bill. Exclusion. The term covered company does not include an entity that operates a website, desktop application, mobile application, or augmented or immersive technology application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information and reviews. Well, isn't that just special? Again, to quote the church lady, right, Thomas? You're nailing it, man. And don't forget that, of course, if you try to, if you try to put political terminology into some of your reviews, like let's say you decide, well, this is a product review website and the product is what the government puts out. No, they're not going to let you do that. No, that's Sorry, that's verboten. Not going to happen. Okay. Now, let's get a little something here. Imagine believing TikTok is a greater threat to your privacy than this one. And here's a face you might remember.
But I saw something wrong. And I saw basically that the government was violating the law and what I believe to be the Constitution of the United States and more broadly human rights for everyone in the United States and around the world. There were domestic surveillance programs. There were mass surveillance programs that worked internationally. Basically, everything that they could monitor, they were monitoring. And so they did this. And this became a mass surveillance program called Stellar Wind, which they said was supposed to monitor the phone calls and internet communications, emails, and things like that of everybody in the United States and around the world who they could get access to for links to Al-Qaeda. Because if you remember, in the wake of the September 11th attacks, they were saying, we thought there could be sleeper cells of Al-Qaeda that were just, you know, peppered all throughout the country, and they were going to spring up at any moment. Of course, like weapons of mass destruction, it just didn't exist. It was all a power grab. But on that basis, they started doing this in secret, and it was completely unconstitutional. It was completely illegal, even under the very loose requirements of the Patriot Act. But they did it for so long that they got comfortable with it. And they thought, this is, you know, this is a really powerful capability. What if we started using this for stuff that was other than terrorism? Because it wasn't finding any terrorists, because there weren't any terrorists in this context that they were looking for them. Whether we're talking about Bush, right, whether we're talking about Obama, or whether we're talking about Trump now, all these guys were okay with a constantly growing surveillance state, because they're the ones whose hands were on the lever at the time. They got to aim it. They got to use it. And that we were constructing a system of turnkey tyranny. And even if you trust that to Obama, you never know whose hand is going to be on that key next. And all they have to do is turn it. And there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Well stated. Good stuff from Edward Snowden over in Russia right now. Because, of course, you know, he's just part of that giant Russian propaganda modus operandi that is, of course, the big threat to our liberty. Just keep paying your taxes. Enjoy April 15th, and remember that now, Dav Pilkey. Let's turn back to Redacted and get some more on this. More coverage from Redacted. Excellent stuff from Clayton and Natalie Morris. Here is a little bit more about those evil Chinese monitoring us and spreading information. Oh, my goodness. How could that possibly be when people voluntarily can take TikTok? But, of course, you're paying the retirement of James Clapper right now.
Right here. Rand Paul says this: reactionaries who want to ban TikTok claim the data can't be secured because the algorithm is in China. Not true, he says. The truth is the algorithm runs in the US in Oracle Cloud with their review of the code, not in China. Maybe we should examine the facts before committing violations of the First and Fifth Amendments.
How about you don't commit violations of the First and Fifth Amendments, Rand? How about that? You don't even have to consider whether China is getting the data or anybody else is getting the data. There's nothing, 00000 in the U.S. Constitution that allows for this to happen, regardless of the rationale. So all that other stuff that he puts in there is true, but irrelevant. Because it's the First and Fifth Amendments that are relevant. And it's also the Sixth Amendment and the Eighth Amendment, because you're taking property without trial. Let's continue.
Then he says they want to ban TikTok because it's owned by China. Not true. 60% of the company is owned by the United States international investors. 20% is owned by the company founders. 20% is owned by company employees, including over 7,000 Americans. The CEO of TikTok is from Singapore, not China. So ask yourself why they keep repeating this lie to you.
Again, a very good point. It is a lie. But again, accepting the argument on that level accepts their predicate, which is that they have any constitutional or moral authority to do so. If you're playing on those terms and you're refuting those terms, that's fine. But it's extremely important, Rand Paul, to point out that that is not really relevant to the actual question of whether Congress can do this according to the oath that you guys take. All of that other stuff becomes a deflection, a diversion from the real crime that's happening. You can't make the argument, even if it were 100% owned by China, that they can do this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yes, it's good to refute their claims, but in so doing, you don't want to tie yourself to the erroneous assumption that if they could prove their case on those other terms, they have the power to do anything. They don't.
Scare you. And then he released this just shortly, a few minutes ago, just after the passage of this bill. Now, remember, he's in the Senate, of course, so he gets to vote no on this when it hits the Senate floor. He says, my statement on the House TikTok ban, the passage of the House TikTok ban is not just misguided overreach. It's a draconian measure that stifles free expression, tramples constitutional rights, disrupts the economic pursuits of millions of Americans. With an iron fist, Congress dictated an unrealistic and narrow path for divestment, right? Breaking apart this company and selling it, effectively banning TikTok and ignoring its substantial investments in data security. This act is not securing our nation. It's a disturbing gift of unprecedented authority to President Biden and the surveillance state that threatens the very core of American digital innovation and free expression. So could this be why a huge number of posts that have been flagged and taken down have nothing at all to do with China? I find it very curious. So what's going on here? In fact, many users reporting that their posts are being removed or taken down if they're anti-Israel or anti-U.S. government posts. I find that interesting. So China is controlling TikTok, taking down like
pro-Israel
or
anti-Israel,
anti-American surveillance state posts. Why would China do that? It's very curious, isn't it? In fact, this week, our very own TikTok account, speaking from experience, was banned. Why was it banned? When we logged in, logging in earlier this week, our team received this message. You know why? Because we posted evidence on how Israel stood down its IDF soldiers on October 7th. So here's one of the posts that was flagged. They struck three posts of ours about Israel, and then they banned our account. Oddly, it had nothing to do with China. So that's one of the posts that they flagged there.
And I'm curious about that. Do you think that they started to do that because they wanted to prepare and win over some of the American politicians? And by the way, again, when I'm talking about Rand Paul's argument and I say that they don't have the power to do that, I'm speaking on two levels. Again, on the constitutional level, they swear oaths to uphold. They swear that they will not do that because there are their rule books, right? It's their rule book. But on a logical, moral, philosophical level, even the Constitution is not authoritative over you or me or anybody. A group of people signing a piece of paper that says there will be this machine that can operate and crush anybody if they just adjust the rules of the machine, or if they even just use it as a beard and pretend to go by the rules of the machine. No, it doesn't work that way. You require my volition, and you haven't gotten it even for the Constitution. I am an individual entity. Other people saying that a piece of paper that was signed over 200 years ago applies to me doesn't make it so. I'm an anarchist. I'm an individual. Period. There is no arguing with that. There's no way to get around it. It's just the truth. And as many times as people want to try to skirt the truth, you always come back to the individual. That's why there's no such thing as public health. There's no such thing as the public defense or the general welfare or anything, because it's always individuals. And we have a right to decide what's good for our friggin' lives. That's it. Period. No argumentation can counter that. Because doing so, in attempting to do so, is an attempt to usurp the rights of your neighbor. And that is universally unacceptable and inapplicable, because it'll happen to you. Right? You got it. If you're in a philosophy class, and I've been in many philosophy classes in front of many students, this is just the way it always goes. It always goes this way. But the politicians don't want you to think like you're in a philosophy class. They don't want you to think morally. They want you to think in the aggregate. They want you to think under normalcy bias and the terms they give you, like China's an adversary. Really? When was I molested by China? When did they demand my frigging money or put me in jail? When did they tell me that I can't buy a house unless I'm going to give the town some money? Amazing. When did they start sending weapons to Israel on my dime? to kill people I've never met.
China is no friend to Israel, of course. Very curious. It's also very curious why recently the head of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, was caught on leaked audio slamming TikTok as a major threat to Zionism. Not saying they're connected, I just think it's curious. He didn't need to be caught on leaked audio, though, slamming TikTok, because he did it publicly right on MSNBC to the parrots at MSNBC. And listen to Mika Brzezinski, like, shaking her head in agreement with him.
But we need to talk about TikTok. TikTok, if you will, it is the 24/7 news channel of so many of our young people, and it's like Al Jazeera on steroids, amplifying and intensifying the anti-Semitism and the anti-Zion with no repercussion.
That incredibly deceitful guy from the IDF, again, like I said, parroting the same sort of absolute drivel and poison that I used to hear from so many of the Zionists at Boston University when I was there as a libertarian guy trying to talk peace, trying to talk truth, and they just would treat the Palestinians as if they were just beasts of burden. Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
We're back on Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find us every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X. That's at Guard Goldsmith. Yes, indeed. That gets me jazzed up, my friends. And the way they bring it in and up the tempo.
I despise, 'cause it means destruction of this life. Warm these tears.
Man, oh man, oh man. What a great tune. Very, very good stuff. Gosh, man. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to see him live. Man, oh man, Edwin Starr, what a voice. It's like Tom Jones, you know, the voices that can crack concrete. Amazing stuff. All right, let's get right to it. I want to go first over to more from antiwar.com. Let's check this one out. Let me see, where is it? Okay. Okay, so here we go. We've got this one. U.S. sending cluster ammunition to Ukraine. Yes, I know. You're saying, where do they get that money? Well, you see, they are going to find it any way they want. Dave DeCamp writes this. The White House announced the new package despite the lack of new funding for the so-called non-U.S. non-proxy war. In other words, the proxy war. The White House announced on Tuesday that the U.S. is sending a new, brand spanking new, polished up $300 million arms package to Ukraine that includes more cluster bombs, you know, that are not supposed to be used, which are notorious for killing and maiming civilians. The arms package is the first for Ukraine to be announced since December 27th. Oh, it's been that long? Well, that was their Christmas gift, you know. As the Pentagon has said, they got to play with their toys, right? Now they need more. As the Pentagon has said, it's out of money to replenish weapons that have been sent to Ukraine, and Congress hasn't authorized more. Yeah, so U.S. officials claim that the new weapons package is being paid for using savings in the U.S. Army's budget. I know, maybe you're scratching your head too. I scratched my head so much I lost all my hair. Savings, you say? What savings? Yes, again, let's just remind you of this story that we discussed last night. I made sure I put this up there so I could bring it back because we don't want to lose some of this information. Pentagon says it needs $10 billion to replace weapons it sent to Ukraine. That from the 11th. I know, they seem to be talking cross purposes. Well, they do anything they want. The Pentagon needs $10 billion to replace weapons in U.S. military stockpiles that have already been sent to Ukraine, a Defense Department official has told Politico. The $60 billion President Biden, $60 billion President Biden is seeking, includes funding to replenish U.S. military stockpiles. The Senate has approved the spending, which is part of a $95 billion foreign military aid bill. But it's unclear if the House will bring it to the floor for a vote. Oh, I think they'll bring it to the floor for a vote. I think so. Yeah. Let's see. What other little items are kind of big that we want to discuss? Well, of course, there's this one. Get ready. U.S. troops depart for mission to build Gaza port. Yes, four U.S. Army vessels carrying about 100 American troops unconstitutionally departed Virginia on Tuesday with equipment to build a temporary port on Gaza's coast, AFP reported. Yeah, okay. Now, that's just that part, rolling from Ukraine into the fact that they are already massively in debt. And don't forget, every 6 months, they add another $1 trillion to the debt. We'll talk about the economy in just a little bit. Some great stuff from Pete St. Ange and another PhD in economics, who is actually a pretty good one. And yeah, it's interesting that they should be doing this. According to a report from the Jerusalem Post, the idea to build the port actually came from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, why would that be? As he blocks food, he wants a port to bring in food. That's strange, isn't it? Isn't that peculiar? Isn't that queer? That sure is a queer thing. It's almost like perhaps he's doing something to buy some time. It's almost as if, oh, I don't know. Perhaps, I'm not sure. But you better not say anything. You better not say anything at all. In fact, let's go back to Norman Finkelstein, yes, on the empty time-buying non-help of Biden's Gaza port project. By the way, that's in Article 8500 of the Constitution, as I laid out last night. And if you missed the show last night, I went through all of the invisible Constitution, all 10,000 provisions of the U.S. Constitution that I know, you're not reading it in your copy of the Constitution. You know, come on. Why don't you trust the government to tell you what's in there? It's totally cool. The judges will decide for you, and they'll make it up too. Let's go with Norman Finkelstein talking about the United States. Now we know it was Netanyahu's idea. And, oh, how about the head of the EU? Let's check it out, my friends. Here he is. And by the way, as I mentioned, oh, hold on a second. I got to do one thing here. Where's my controller? That's right. Okay. Yeah, I got to go back because I combined all these cool things. All right, here we go. Yes, very good. Whew. Good thing. I've got so many things all tied up here. Here we go.
President Biden has turned the Gaza genocide into a photo op for himself. Ursula von der Leyen was one of the key supporters of the genocide, is now trying to clear her name. She's a bona fide war criminal. It's not for no reason that Claire Daly in the European Parliament calls her Frau Genocide, or as I prefer to call her, the Nazi princess. And let's get down to the facts. There's no problem with getting food and medicine to the periphery of Gaza. There are hundreds of trucks which are ready to go in. It doesn't change anything one whit if there is a floating pier on the water periphery of Gaza. That's not the problem. The problem is getting the food and the medicine from the periphery to the people. And Israel is blocking that. It's blocking it both physically and also by its continued indiscriminate bombing to terrorize the civilian population. There's something truly sickening when the President of the United States turns the martyrdom of the people of Gaza into an election year photo op. He's trying to recreate the Berlin airlift of 1948.
So right. And just to reiterate something that we mentioned at the beginning of the program, everybody, there is even more very troubling information out of Israel So let's give that to you. You might have seen antiwar.com reported on this. Five more people have been killed at, you got it, the Israeli-Gaza border because Israel bombed another food distribution process. Israel bombs food distribution center in Gaza, killing five. This came out just today. This is the third time in 2 weeks, I believe. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, food distribution center in Gaza. Didn't I just read a story about this? Well, this is another story about this. Was hit by an Israeli airstrike, killing five. The bombing of the facility is the latest in a series of Israeli attacks on food distribution in Gaza. The Israeli military operations in Gaza and restrictions on aid entering the Strip have placed hundreds of thousands of Palestinians on the brink of starvation. Witnesses, Gazan health officials, and the UN reported that Israel attacked the UNRWA warehouse in Rafah on Wednesday, killing five people, including one UNRWA worker. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought the United States was signed on to that unconstitutional agency. Are they going to say anything about this? Remember when Jen Psaki was at the White House and she was talking about cluster bombs and how that might possibly be a war crime if Russia used cluster bombs?
I am very humbly asking if you could chip in $5, $10, or even $25. I know.
That obviously means that.
Oh, no, we're embarrassed. We screwed up. Our warehouse is overloaded with survival food kits, but our mess is your.
No, I was asking.
All right. Now let's go back in time a little bit, switch back to Ukraine. Check this out from Russell Brand, who has a memory and has a few things to say.
Aspects of it, but aspects of the story you're going to love. Now that we live in extraordinary times where the Pope cannot talk about peace without receiving attacks from the establishment. Let's have a look at this in a little more depth.
Even so, many public figures have spoken out on the matter. Ukrainian President Zelensky, without specifically naming Francis, alluded to the white flag in his video. The message was published a day after the Pope's interview.
Russian murderers and torturers do not go deeper into Europe only because they're stopped by Ukrainians with weapons in hand and under the blue and yellow flag. In Ukraine, there used to be many white walls of houses and churches that are now scorched and ruined by Russian weapons.
Zelensky thanked Christians,
as opposed to the houses in the Donbass that his government destroyed, the people that his government slaughtered, the churches they've shut down, the people they've arrested without trial, you know, that sort of thing. And they were doing that before the Russians entered. We'll continue.
And Muslims for their presence since the beginning of the war. But he added a few words that could be addressed to Francis.
I thank all Ukrainian chaplains who are with the army and the defense forces. They are on the front line, protecting life and humanity, supporting with prayer, conversation, and deeds. This is what the church does, being with the people, not 1,500 miles away, somewhere virtually mediating between someone who wants to live and someone who wants to destroy you.
What happened in that country when there was a proposed treaty or peace deal between Putin and Zelensky, then Boris Johnson, presumably at the behest of his partners in the American military industrial complex globalist state machine, scuppered that proposal for peace that could have ended this madness a couple of years ago? Have any of us, who has benefited primarily? Have Russia benefited in the intervening years? Have Ukraine benefited in the intervening years? Has BlackRock benefited in the intervening years? Have Raytheon? Have Boeing? Who has benefited? Let me know in the Rumble chat right now. And let me know why it's so difficult to have those conversations in legacy media spaces.
In Ukraine, the Vatican representative in the country was invited to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to discuss the Pope's statement. From the government, they expressed their disappointment and said that Francis should appeal to the aggressor and not to the victim. Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin also spoke out in an interview. He said the appeal of the Pope does not refer only to Ukraine, but to both sides.
And it obviously would have to, wouldn't it? Because we're talking about conflict, and you have to ultimately, to bring about peace, appeal to both sides. And I suppose, yes, it could be considered that Russia are the aggressor, as we are continually told. It's an unprovoked attack. But when you hear about the actions of NATO in the preceding years, when you hear about CIA involvement in the 2014 coup, those ideas, the idea that this is an unprovoked conflict, seems more difficult to appreciate, to continue to believe. And perhaps most significant when you're talking about advocacy for peace is the fact that Putin has nuclear weapons and has once again said he will use them. They're ready to use nuclear weapons if its sovereignty or independence is threatened. It's confirmed, of course, to Russia, issuing another blunt warning to the West just days before an election in which he's all but certain to secure another six-year term. Putin said that, in line with the country's security doctrine, Moscow is ready to use nuclear weapons in case of a threat to the existence of the Russian state. In an apparent reference to NATO allies that support Kiev, he also declared that nations that say they have no red lines regarding Russia should realize that Russia won't have any red lines regarding them either. I think that's something that should be contemplated, don't you? Let me know in the chat. It seems to me like a pretty significant component to this story, the potential to escalate it further. And of course, it seems now that cluster bombs, which have always been regarded as a red line, are being deployed, at least sent to Ukraine for, you know, use in this conflict. $300 million arm package is on its way now, in spite of the fact that not long ago, Jen Psaki, in her former and extremely distinct role as a White House spokesperson, said that cluster bombs, when used by Russians, though, when used by Russians, constitute a war crime.
There are reports of illegal cluster bombs and vacuum bombs being used by the Russians. If that's true, what is the next step of this administration? And is there a red line for how much violence will be tolerated against civilians in this manner that's illegal and potentially a war crime?
It would be. I don't have any confirmation of that. We have seen the reports. If that were true, it would potentially be a war crime. Obviously, there are a range of international fora that would assess that. So certainly we would look to that to be a part of that conversation.
Amazing.
So
amazing.
In a sense, there is no...
Just incredible. It's totally situational ethics, completely situational ethics. And so now let's go back to Twitter/X. And check out a little something here that will remind us that perhaps in the future, if you speak out against any of this stuff, then you too could be in a bit of trouble, and perhaps your platform could also be in trouble. Last American Vagabond, of course, doing great stuff. Ryan and the gang over there, they posted this. Get ready for a surge of pro-Zionist censorship, this time with entire websites being banned, blocked, or taken down entirely. TikTok ban. And then he has reposted, TikTok ban bill passes House with both Democrats and Republican support. There is no right and left. There is only Zionist and anti-Zionist. There is only the state, illegitimate power, and freedom. There is only evil and your choice of good. So there it is again, folks. And let's go to this wonderful vote. Here we are. There it is. Republicans, Democrats, independent totals. And that was the vote. 197 to 29. So there you go. That is a wonderful, wonderful piece of progress for the future. Even as, of course, if you want to criticize Israel killing five people in the UN food area, you could get in a heck of a lot of trouble. Now, want to move on to some other major, major items. So let's talk right now about Haiti and get some information about what's going on in Haiti, because I think this is fairly important stuff. Let me make sure I've got this all rolling for you. And I think I've got it. Let me just get to the Haiti information here. I think I got it. Yes, I do. Okay. So, going to bring this one up for you from, let me see here. I think I've got this. Do I have it? Let me make sure I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Okay. So this is what's happening in Haiti. And let me show that to you right now. Hold on a second here. Got to get the tech going right here. All right. Okay, here we go. Now, as I mentioned here, meanwhile, in the tiny nation the U.S. has pushed around for 100 years, we've got this.
Further into chaos, after over a week of some of the worst violence the country has seen, the Prime Minister of Haiti overnight announcing his plans for resignation, releasing this video statement, urging calm for the people of Haiti, saying he and his team will resign after the transitional consul is created. The resignation coming the same day leaders of the Caribbean nations held an emergency meeting over the crisis in Jamaica. U.S. Secretary of State Antony.
I think they don't mean that there's a crisis in Jamaica. They held a meeting in Jamaica over the crisis. But, you know, that's just poor writing and reporting. But we'll continue.
Lincoln flew down to meet with the leaders, saying earlier Monday that Haitians cannot wait any longer for a path to security, stability, and democracy.
In other words, Haitians can't wait for the United States to go back in and reestablish a new puppet dictator there.
What we've seen in recent days again should remind us that the already challenging and difficult security situation it's now deteriorated even further.
Instability has worsened in Haiti since the 2021 assassination of then Prime Minister.
You got it. Ariel Henry took over after the assassination of Prime Minister Jovenel Moïse in 2021. I should have a small T on that. Ariel Henry took over after the assassination of Prime Minister Jovenel Moïse in 2021, who, by the way, was suspected of being killed by Colombian mercenaries hired by people tied to the United States government. I know you're shocked. Yes, I know you're shocked after all the good things the United States has done for Haiti. I mean, you know, what other wonderful things could we ever ask for, right? Of course, they've got to do more good stuff for Haiti. So let's get to some of that information about Haiti, shall we? Let me make sure I've got this all tied for you. Of course, the first blush action we might want to mention has to do with the Clinton Foundation. Don't forget this one. January 29th, 2010. We're just going to go back a little bit here. Clinton friend Laura Silsby and child trafficking in Haiti. I know, the Clinton Foundation. In the first week of February, former President Bill Clinton accepted an expanded role as special envoy for Haiti on behalf of the United Nations to lead the coordination of international earthquake recovery and reconstruction efforts. One of Clinton's first tasks in Haiti, however, was to put out the fire of a child abduction scandal involving American citizens. Now, that is in addition to, everybody, that is in addition to the fact that the United States, that the Clinton Global Initiative, the Clinton Foundation, did not really build houses there or help people in reconstruction. They pocketed the money, as you can see from that wonderful picture of Hillary Clinton, and the Clinton Cash book there goes into some of this. January 29th, 2010, less than 3 weeks after the earthquake, Haitian authorities arrested 10 U.S. Baptist missionaries for attempting to take 33 children. I wonder why it's 33 by bus across the border into the Dominican Republic without proper documentation. A week later, the missionaries were charged with child kidnapping and criminal association, while the missionaries claimed good intentions and ignorance of Haitian laws. Haitian prosecutors. Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. In the course of a month, President Clinton brokered the release of all the missionaries, except for the group leader, Laura Silsby. The government of Haiti was sticking on that. Suspicions about Silsby's intent to smuggle or traffic the children to the Dominican Republic further increased when, on March 19, 2020, Silsby's legal advisor, Jorge Torres Puello, an American Dominican living in the Dominican Republic as a fugitive, was arrested and accused of human trafficking. U.S. authorities revealed that Torres Puello was, quote, linked to a network that trafficked in Haitian and Central American children and was wanted in the United States, El Salvador, and Costa Rica. So again, if you want to flag this part of the video for people, if they want to get this information, good stuff. You can always review this, whatever. This is at the ClintonFoundationTimeline.com, ClintonFoundationTimeline.com. Hillary has a long history of interest in Ms. Silby. WikiLeaks emails dating back till at least 2001 have found in her archives discussing Laura's NGO. Laura had claimed she planned to build an orphanage in the Dominican Republic, but authorities in the country said she never submitted an application for this purpose. Thanks for listening to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. And remember, find us every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Rockfin, Rumble, and my Twitter /X at Gard Goldsmith, and visit my Substack, the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. Be seeing you.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warda.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.